Well, good day, everyone, and welcome back to Tim Topham TV, the Piano Teaching Podcast. This is episode number 22, and we're going to be talking all about Piano Maestro, this amazing app, and I've got Becky Laurent here to talk all about it. I'm going to introduce her in just a second. In this episode, we're going to unpack this pretty amazing app from a company called JoyTune. So we're going to discuss how it can enhance piano lessons, encourage more students to practice a whole lot more, and whether or not you've actually tried the app, you're going to get lots of out of today's episode. And we'll have the show notes as usual at timtopham.com/episode2. One of the chapters of her book, which is called The Insider's Guide to JoyTunes' Piano Maestro. And this chapter is all about getting connected, which can actually, and I know this from my own experience, be one of the hardest things to get right. So this is actually going to save you a whole lot of time and hassle, and it's going to save her a whole lot of time and hassle in helping you when you get stuck. So make sure you grab that. It will be on the show notes page. And if you're not a piano teacher and you're a piano student perhaps, or someone interested in learning piano, we've also got a coupon code to give you free access to the app, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. Now, as always, I'd love for you to leave a review if you've got a spare couple of minutes and could head to timtopham.com/iTunes. All the instructions are there. It would be fantastic if you could do that. So today's guest, Becky Laurent, is a private music teacher, blogger, author, and frequent guest lecturer for local, state, and national conferences. We actually met at the NCKP this year. It was one of the best conferences I've been to, and look at the great people that I've been able to meet. She's currently located in Texas, where she's the owner of a large music school with over 400 students. Becky began adding technology to her private lessons in 1993 and continues to stay on the leading edge of using technology to teach and make music. And she's also, of course, an education specialist with JoyTunes, the developers of Piano Maestro. So welcome, Becky, finally after all that. Thank you for being so patient. How are you?
That was so good. Thank you. I actually sound like I know what I'm talking about. It's amazing. Thank you.
And I have to say, it's 4 o'clock here for me, so it's not too bad that I'm looking, you know, reasonable. But you, 11 o'clock at night or something like that, you were looking fabulous, can I just say?
Well, thank you. It was a long effort. I started at like 7 p.m., so, you know, it took a while, but no, thank you. No.
So tell me, before we get into the Piano Maestro, I'm really interested to hear you've got a music school of over 400 students. So you obviously have a number of staff helping you with that, do you?
I do. We have a lot of private classes. Each of the teachers runs between 30 and 40 of private students, and then we do a lot of off-site group classes, and not just piano classes, but our classes generally teach piano, guitar, and drums. So when we go out to teach a class, we cover all three of those instruments. So it's a really popular program here in the city that I live in, and lots of people want their kids in there, and it's really, really great to feed into my private studio. So I never have to worry about not having my studio full. It's always full.
Well, that's a huge help.
That's why I designed it that way. Yeah, it's really huge that if you can do it, then you should definitely look into creating some kind of feeder program that feeds into your private student.
Right. Well, we might have to talk about that at another stage, or get you to do a little article about that, because I'm sure there'll be people interested. And one of the previous podcasts was all about building a piano studio, and how to go about hiring staff and things. So I think that was episode, I'm not sure, we'll pop it in the episode 7, how to build a multi-teacher piano studio. That was with one of the teachers here in Australia called Carla McDonald. So anyway, let's get on to talking about Piano Maestro. How have you become connected with this app?
You know, people ask me that all the time, and I have to say it was completely accidental. It was accidental. I teach several autistic students, and I was looking for, well, let me just start by saying I was not convinced that Apple was able to program for musicians. Since 93, all the programming has been done by Windows. Everybody that develops anything for music technology has done it through Windows. And so I really wasn't convinced that Apple knew what they were doing and that they were going to actually design a program or anything that I could use with my iPad. And I was an early adopter of the iPad. I actually had an iPad first generation.
Oh, wow.
Got rid of it. Yeah. And so I was one of the first ones to get it. My husband and I are always one of the first ones to get stuff. But I started looking around after I tailored my studio to be paper free, and I was using the iPad more for business, but administrative business. I wasn't really convinced that, you know, they could do music. And so I started looking at the music apps, and I wasn't really finding anything that I liked until I found JoyTunes's first product. Well, I guess it was their second product, called Piano Dustbuster. And I played around with it, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. Wow, Apple did it. This is great. So I was really excited, and I started using it with my students. My traditional students did just fine with it. But I started using it with my autistic students, and I was shocked. I was completely blown away at how easy it was for them to use and how motivated they were with it. And so I wrote a note to JoyTunes just saying, you know what, thank you. This app has made a huge difference in my students. And that turned into frequent phone calls with them and consulting on the side. And now I do this. So,
right.
So it really was just kind of an accidental, you know, I sent an email and they were intrigued by what I said. And then when I talked to them, they were like, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And so my fingerprints are just all over Piano Maestro, which is kind of cool. But
Were they already thinking about developing something like that?
They were. They yeah. were very early on. Piano Dustbuster was just the precursor to what was eventually going to be Piano Maestro, which actually didn't start out as Piano Maestro. It started out as Piano Mania. But not a lot of people know that because it wasn't out there that long.
Yeah, right.
Started as Piano Mania, and then they did a whole rebranding of the app and created and rebranded it Piano Maestro. So now we have Piano Maestro.
Cool. And is Dustbuster still an app that's out there or not anymore?
It is. Absolutely, yeah. And if you are a teacher who's using Piano Maestro, you can download Piano Dustbuster and use it for free as well. All of the song packs are open and available to you.
I know we're not talking about it, so really quickly, what does it do mainly?
It's more of a video game. There's not any pedagogy. The beauty of Piano Maestro is that it's really designed by teachers, by piano pedagogues. So it's very disciplined in its approach to teaching piano, but Piano Dustbuster is really just fun. It's just sight reading fun, and you do need to be able to read music fairly well to be able to do it. What I love about it is that it makes you an international competitor. So you go in, you play your little challenge songs, and then at the end of your little challenge, you see where you rank in the world. I'm very competitive. So yeah. I'm never really happy unless my name is like the first one on the list. And my students are very competitive as well. So that's Piano Dustbuster is more pop tunes. It's more fun stuff. And you could have, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb and Shake It Off in the same set to perform. So it's not really well gauged. They really kind of push you along in that one, but it is a game.
Yeah, cool. All right. And so who are the main users of Piano Maestro?
For me, Piano Maestro is more for students, and it's for people who want to learn to play piano with a teacher, because there's a lot of hidden features that are only really going to work for you if you're working with a teacher. Okay. So people do download it who are not, you know, they're self-learners who are not piano students or who played piano in the past and are coming back to it. So we have a lot of little people playing it. We have a lot of older people playing it. I mean, it's just really, there's a wide age range for that. So I would say ideally we're looking at people who are about 7 and 8 all the way up to probably, I don't know. My oldest student using it is and she's not going to appreciate that I said this, but you don't know her name, so it's okay. She's 69, I think.
Yeah.
So, and she loves to play.
Oh, I find it. It's fun to play. I find it fun. Yeah.
So it really runs a gamut of people's ages. Boys, girls, everybody likes to play.
Yeah, I agree. And is it? We should have said it before. Is this for Android or just iPad?
Well, here's the thing. It is just for iPad right now.
Yeah.
The reasons for that are technical, and they've explained it to me probably 1,000 times. But, all I know is that every time I have to go buy a new device, it has to be an Apple device for this to work. And yeah, it's a little bit pricey. Again, I'm just going to say this once. You get what you pay for. So if you're going to buy a $79 tablet, it's not going to have great speakers, which Piano Maestro really benefits from. Mm. It's not going to have a really fast processor. Again, Piano Maestro is a sight reading app and the music goes screaming across the page. You really kind of need a fast processor. You also need microphones that are really high quality since it is listening to you play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just hard to develop for something where the hardware is not consistent.
And yeah, that's so, it. They're all different. They're all designed at different levels.
They're all different.
Yeah.
And Apple has done the best job of keeping everything consistent. So we're able, even though it's one company that provides the device, there's lots and lots of options within that one company. So
have they brought out a version? Does it work for the new iPad Pro, do you know?
It totally does. I have
Fantastic.
The iPad talking to you on my iPad Pro.
Oh, there you go. Now, for people that are listening who have no idea, the iPad Pro is the latest iPad that's come out, and
it's giant. Well,
so here's the current size. It's kind of out here, is that right?
Yes, it is about that. Yes, it's about that much bigger. It actually, for musicians, it's the size of a standard book of music. So if you open up your piano book and you put it up, That's the size of this iPad.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Now, we're not going to get on. Like, we could talk about iPads all day. So let's stick to this. So what does it cost? Do you need a digital piano? They're two next questions for using this app.
Okay, and those are two different questions. So I'm going to tackle the first one and then hit the second one.
Sure.
The first one is Piano Maestro. And Tim, I am your fairy godmother. I love this part. It's my favorite thing to say.
You're the fairy godmother of all teachers around the world.
Yes, all things digital. No, Piano Maestro is actually free for teachers and their students. Doesn't matter how many students you have. There's no limit on how many students you can have in this. It is free for you. It is free for your students.
Then the next question is always,
so how do you guys make money if you're giving it away for free? And then I have to say something like, well, not everybody who uses our app is a piano teacher. Or a piano student of a piano teacher who's a registered teacher. So we still have lots and lots of users. We have 3.5 million downloads every 3.5 million downloads last year. And so there's a lot of people using this, not all teachers. There are lots of places in the world where they don't have piano teachers like we do here in the US and in Australia.
Yeah.
So China actually is one of our huge populations that are using Piano Maestro as well. So it is free for all the teachers and all of their students, which is a tremendous – I totally cried.
Fantastic. Because I know – I remember when I started with it, it wasn't. So it's great
that
change. Yeah,
and
fantastic.
When they sat me down and they said – it was a conference call, and Yuval, who is the founder of Piano Maestro and JoyTunes, he said, we're changing our piano structure or our pricing structure. And I just – my head, I was like, oh, my gosh, they figured out how much this is worth to me. Okay, fine. And I mean, mentally, I was rebudgeting. I was like, okay, if the price goes up to $200, that's still fine. I'll still pay it because I totally need this.
Yep.
And then he said he was going to move it to free for teachers, and I burst into tears and cried. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was very emotional for me. It really was. I mean, aside from the fact that Piano Maestro is a game changer for teachers, which I know we'll get to, the fact that it's free for you to use is incredible, because once we start talking about all of the things that are available in Piano Maestro for you as a teacher, you will just, you know, you might burst into tears too, because it's really, really cool.
Before you go on, I got to say that one of the – and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but this is the main screen for people that are watching. And in the library, which I'm sure you'll talk about later, and methods, like, you've got access to a whole heap of method books. Like, this page alone would cost like $500 if you bought all those books.
Yeah, it would.
And there
Absolutely.
It is. So we'll come back to that. But, like, seriously, it's amazing that is the offer. So thank you, JoyTunes. It's great.
Yes, right? The other thing that you asked about was using it with an acoustic piano or with a digital piano. And this is the other part that I just get goosebumps when I talk about is that this app will work with either an acoustic piano or with a digital piano. It really doesn't matter because it's listening to sounds. And there's no cables involved. You can
Fantastic.
Just put your iPad up on the piano and start playing. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to have a secondary degree in electrical engineering to make it work.
And I know there are going to be hundreds of teachers just sighing relief that they don't have to plug anything in, because I'm reasonably tech savvy, and it still annoys me when I have to do that. So,
well,
another great advantage.
Windows did that horrible training to all of us. Where, I mean, my first 5 years of doing tech in music was, you know, learning to swap out sound cards and having to learn how to change graphics cards. And my husband was always just horrified that I would rip open a computer and I'd start changing things around because that you just don't do that. But with Apple products, there's really no way for you to break it. I mean, short of like slamming it on the floor, you can't mess up the registry. You can't do anything to break this app, and it will work for you every single time you turn it on. So I think that's really a huge plus, again, for working with JoyTunes and working with Apple.
Apple,
those two companies together is just amazing.
I agree. All right. Well, you better give us an overview. What is this app for? What's its main feature? Why should anyone care less?
So Piano Maestro is a segment.
I love how excited you're getting. It's so good.
So Piano Maestro is a sight reading app. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to help you, the teacher, teach your students sight reading skills so that when they look at a piece of method book music, they can play. They can play it because they can read it. And we all know that it is the hardest thing in the world to get the students excited about reading music. They just want to play.
And
they don't understand that you have to be able to read to play the fun stuff. So this is like shortcut to getting them to play fun stuff. Because it's a game, it looks like a game. Let me rephrase that. It looks like a game. It is not a game, but it looks like a game. And they don't even realize that they are learning through this constant repetition of reading these notes over and over and over and over, that they are actually learning. They are actually getting those skills, those visual, physical skills that we want them to have, so that when they look at a piece of music that's not moving, it's so much easier. I mean, it's so much easier. So this is a sight reading app. Piano Maestro gives you three different categories. Once you log in, and please read the chapter on how to set this up because it's really important. There's three. Tim, can you show them? There's three sections here. Wait, that's the wrong one. Go back. In the library. Go back one.
Oh, that one, yeah.
The opening screen, there we go. So there's three sections here. There's the journey, the library, and the home challenge. We're done. The journey is a method. It's a method of teaching people to play piano. It starts off with one note, and then it moves on to three notes. It moves on to five notes. At the top of each chapter, you can see what concepts are in there. But also, and this is another amazing facet of JoyTunes, they created a website. So if you go to www.joytunes.com and you click on I'm a Teacher, you're going to get the curriculum guide. They actually wrote it all out for you. So you
all
can
right.
see what all the songs are in each of the chapters, and you can see which each chapter is designed to teach the student. Now, having said that, there are gaping holes in it on purpose, because they don't want the teacher to be obsolete. So they left parts out so that the teacher can jump in and fill in. So that's designed on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But the journey is great for students to learn how to play. They can do it on their own at home. They can do it with you in class. I always recommend to new teachers, go ahead and do it in class for the last 5 minutes of class so that you can get familiar with it. Then the other section that we briefly looked at was the library section. Sorry.
Yeah, library.
Library. Thank you. Yeah, library. The library is amazing. That is where the teachers hang out, right there in the library. Teachers hang out in the library. There's three sections in there. It's songs, exercises, and method books. There's over 5,000 songs in this app. So people ask a lot. I know. People ask all the time, well, when are we going to get done with it? You're not going to get done with it. I've been playing it for 3 years and I'm behind. Okay. I still have not played every song in this book, in this method. So you're not going to run out of material to use, but the library has pop and rock. It's divided out by category. It has pop and rock music. It has classical music. It has TV and game theme music. It has holiday music all broken up for you. It's really, really well organized.
I don't know if people can see that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holiday, Christian contemporary, kids and folk songs. My students particularly love the TV and game theme section.
Yeah. My guys like the pop stuff.
Yeah, mine too. And then if you go, you move into the second section, which is the exercise section. This one has really undergone just recently a whole revamping of material. They've added a ton of scales and exercises for you to have your students work on. It's amazing. And this is one of those things that's kind of hidden, and I always try to mention it when I do these things. The songs do transpose. And so if you look at one of the songs, you did not know that?
All right.
Yeah, so I'm going to show you how to do it just really quick.
Okay, shall I do it on the screen? I'll do it for everyone.
Yeah. Search, go to songs.
All right, songs. Yep.
And then up in the corner, search for Angry Birds. And type A-N-G. And we're just going to do Angry Birds because it's the easiest one to find. And once you learn how to do this.
That one?
Yeah, that one. Okay, so tap on the box. Now, lift it up. There we go.
Can everyone hear that?
The beige box that says A minor, and then there's a drop-down arrow.
Yeah.
Tap that.
Uh-huh.
Voila. There are different keys. So once you see that, once you see that that's available to you, can a lot of the songs are transposable, multi keys, especially for scales, where it's really, really important for them to not just learn C, G, and F.
Yeah.
All the scales are in there, and so you can just scroll through. And the third part of that main screen is home challenges. So if your students have an iPad at home and they connect to you, again, using the whole process thing that goes on in Chapter 7 that I put in there, yeah, home challenge right there, you can assign immediately from your iPad to theirs what you want them to work on. And if you've got a student who's doing exams and they have to learn, 12 different scales, harmonic minors and whatever, you can just go through them really quick. I mean, literally tap the finger on the screen and it, boom, shoots over to their iPad, and you don't have to whine or complain or nag or, bribe or whatever. It shows up on their iPad and they can work on it at home. So there's just really quick, very brief overview of some of the things that are in there that really make this app amazing for teachers to use as a teaching tool. Very often I hear people say, well, I just use it for fun at the end of a class. And that's fine. That's a great way to get acquainted with it.
Mm.
But as you really delve into the material that's in there, I would really encourage you. I mean, I reach for it all the time. I teach a new concept. I teach a new hand position. I am grabbing my iPad and I'm saying, okay, I just taught you how to do it. Now let me show you how to do it. And then we'll work on something, a song or whatever, that reinforces that concept. So the kids are getting, more time working with that concept versus me explaining it in class and sending them home and praying that they remember what I said. But this they can actually take home, and they can go and they can see it and they can play with it and they can slow it down. There's some great practice options in there for them, where learn mode is where they can take little bitty sections of it and learn each piece by piece. Which is what we teach them in class, and they get that skill, just that skill by itself, reinforced at home. And then there's a whole bunch of practice options where you can add note names, you can add location on the keyboard, you can slow it down,
you can do hands separate too, can't you?
So there's a lot of different ways for the students to learn the piece without you nagging them over their shoulder. They learn to do this on their own. My sweet daughter wanted to learn one of the summer camp songs, and now the name is escaping me. It's something about dance. Anyway, she looked at it and she looked at the music and she said, oh, this is going to be too hard for me. I'm going to do learn mode first.
Was that Shut Up and Dance With Me?
That one?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And so she's seven, and she knows the app well enough to sit down and work her way through, just like, it took me years to learn the discipline of practice. And here she is, 7 years old, and she's learning the process of how to learn a piece, a little bit at a time, one hand or the other, whatever. She's learning how to do that. And so I was very impressed. It's very exciting for teachers to have that extra little teaching assistant so yeah, to speak, at home with the students.
And of course, we've talked, for people that haven't explored this app at all, they might not understand that the big feature of it, in my opinion anyway, is the backing tracks. So students aren't just reading the music. So if you've kind of missed the point of why this is such a cool app, it's because each of these pieces have very cool backing tracks with them. And I have to say, I'm actually going to open one now because I reckon the backing tracks are actually about some of the best that I've heard.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. And
My favorite one is Country Dance.
Country Dance.
No, Country Walk. It's Country Walk.
And it's like Let's check it out.
Hang on. Five or chapter four. And there's this amazing...
Country Walk for Left Hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to the banjo part. Who does that? The banjo part's my favorite part.
But like, I quite like Avicii myself. He's a dance music producer.
The backing tracks
are really realistic, and the kids really love them. Like, and Gangnam Style will come up while they're on their journey of learning music, and they're like, "Oh, that's so cool."
That's so cool. I can play this.
Yeah, and I love also that. If they choose the journey, which is the method that kind of takes them through step by step from one note to two and all that, it keeps unlocking new challenges and new pieces. So can you tell us about that kind of that's the gamification side of the pedagogy, isn't it?
That is the gamification part of it, and it's literally teaching them without them realizing that they are learning, because they can't. And I love progress to the next chapter. Unless and until they have a certain number of stars that they have earned in the chapter that they're in. So if the number of stars is, I don't know, 125, they can't move until they've got 120. If that means they have to play the song 750 times, and that's how long it takes them to get that number of stars, that's how long it takes. They're not moving. There's no cheating. There's no hacks. I have scoured the internet looking for ways to cheat through this, because the kids are always saying, "Miss Becky, there's cheat codes for everything." Yeah, there's no cheat codes here. This is straight up a skill game. You either have skills or you don't have skills, and you're not moving on. So I love that. I love that they have to actually do the work, and they have to unlock each level. Now, having said that, there is a fast forward feature. So say you have an intermediate student who wants to play in Piano Maestro, but they don't want to start at middle C because, you know, they've been playing for 5 years, and I'm very hopeful that they are past middle C.
We can hope.
There's a fast forward feature up in the top right corner of all of the journey chapters, and they can take this sight reading test. Again, there's no hacks for this. You have to be able to do it. But you do the test, and it unlocks all the previous chapters. So it just kind of skips you up ahead, all the way up to chapter 27. And then from 27 to 38, because that's as many chapters as we have, you have to actually do the work. There's no more skip ahead. You actually have to play every single piece to unlock each chapter. So
yep.
I really love that. I love that the standards, especially as a piano teacher, I love that the standards that are required for the students to meet are very, very high. They really do have to do some work to get to advance.
Yeah, not only the right note, but the right on. It's like it's very precise when it listens to rhythm and how on the beat students are too, which I think is
great. Yes. Now it doesn't do duration. So if they hit they hit the first beat of a whole note, the version that we have right now, if they let go of it, it's not going to know that they let go. But you know,
that's where we can
get paid for.
Yeah,
can
exactly.
I sit there and say, yeah, that was great, and I'm glad that you got three stars, but you didn't hold a single note down. So I saw you, even if JoyTunes did it. I saw you. So we're going to do that again because you need three stars legit,
That's it.
Not just fake.
Now, how do you go with students? Do they use their iPad in your lesson? Do they bring it to the class, or do they just use yours? Do they have to have an iPad at home? How does that all work?
They don't have to have an iPad at home, and really, I don't ask my students to bring their iPads to class anyway. They're mostly coming right after school. They don't have their iPad with them, so we just use mine. in class, which is fine because, you know, I have access to their profile on my iPad because they're my students, and they can see it when they get home and do it on their iPad. So there's no need for everybody to have an iPad. Now, for families who don't have iPads for whatever reason, the link that I told you about earlier, the joytunes.com, where there's a curriculum guide, what I will do, and you can do this from the app too, you can print straight from the app. The songs that are not copyrighted, you can print right from the app in the journey mode and send it. You can either print it to your air printer, or you can, and this is what I do because I'm cheap and I don't want to waste ink, I email the PDF of the music to the parents of students who don't have iPads. They practice that at home in addition to all of the other stuff that I give them. And then when they come back, they're ready and prepared to play the piece, and then we can move on through the journey. So if I do 3 or 4 songs that way, you know, to get them through that one chapter, they practice those at home on their ink and on their paper, and then they come back to my class and they do it on the iPad, bam, we are moving on through.
So there you go. I didn't know that was ways where we can do didn't know that was an option. I'm learning lots today. I love it. So good. This is why we're doing it. Now we've talked about gamification. We've also talked about pedagogy, and I know some teachers will be questioning the merit or the value in making piano teaching into a game. So can we talk to that just for a moment to settle people's apprehension about, well, if we turn our teaching and their lessons into just games, then, you know, what's the point? Well, I thought we were a serious profession here.
Okay, so
you know I'm playing devil's advocate, right?
I know you are, and I'm trying to find a way to say this politely, because we mostly teach using gamification. You know, that's what those mnemonics are for. The all cows eat grass, and every good boy does fine. I mean, nobody talks that way, but we're trying to find a way to relate to the student. And so how is this any different except that it happens to be on a moving screen? It's not any different than off the bench exercises or things that you do to teach your students how to play or to understand intervals. It's not any different than that except that it happens to be on a screen. Mm. So I don't feel like and this argument comes up very often. So I agree with you. It's something that needs to be addressed, but I don't see it as a detriment. Mm. This is not screen time that's not useful. This screen time is designed to teach them a skill, a whole bunch of skills. And if it happens to be fun for them to do, well, why does it have to be hard?
Yeah.
We don't need to make things you know, hard and difficult and drudge work. And I mean, who wants to do that anyway? Mm. So I don't know that I feel like that there's any difference between this and doing off the bench exercises.
Mm. We're not suggesting that teachers revolutionize their teaching either. This is a tool to use mm-hmm. in a part of your lesson.
If you want to.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to use it. But you don't also have to suddenly spend 30 minutes on this screen. You spend 5 minutes or whatever it is doing some sight reading. That's what I do with my students, and they totally love it. They've always loved that.
My students earn their way into a 30-minute class of Piano Maestro. So if they come for several weeks and they've done everything they're supposed to do, then they get awarded points, and when they hit a certain point then they get to pick. Jennifer Fox actually does this with her students. She gives them an optional tech class, and the student gets to pick what they do for the class. And so without fail, my students will work and work and work and work so that they can get a full 30-minute music, piano maestro, piano class. That's what they want. They want a piano maestro piano class. And so, you know, there's no harm in that. And my parents are very comfortable because their kids are learning something. That's really, at the end of the day, that's what parents want. They want their kids to learn how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use an iPad to do it or we use, you know, Bach to do it, the parents are just going to be thrilled that their kids can play.
Mm. And I am a massive proponent for variety in piano lessons. That is the spice of life. If we're always just doing the same thing, everyone's going to get bored. I don't know how teachers do it. So, you know, try it out. What I was thinking is if you could take me, actually instruct me just for a couple of minutes. I'm going to say I've got a 10-year-old, my 10-year-old, a female student. She's been learning for two or three years, and I've just downloaded the app, and we're sitting in her first lesson. Once I've set it up and I've done the connection, what would you do first?
For a 10-year-old girl who has done 3 years of class, I'm going to do this with you.
Yeah.
First thing I would do really and truly is I would take her through Journey Chapter 1 because, okay, like anything, you have to learn the interface. You have to learn how it works, and you have to learn how to speak computer.
Yeah.
So first thing I'm going to have her do is I'm going to do Chapter 1, rocking in the journey, and have her play through that so she sees how it works. Now, when you do that, when you play in the journey, The very first chapter here. Let's see if I can pull mine up without crashing anything. 2-1. There we go. All right. So rocking looks like this.
Oop, I might have switched. There we go.
Rocking looks like that.
Yep.
You hit play. Now, on the next screen that we get, you have two choices. You can either play with this. Where's my finger? Okay, there we go. It's an acoustic piano. So if you tap this one, oh, I just sang the note. You have to actually play it on the piano, which I can't do. So na na na. Am I singing the right note? Na 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 da 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 da, 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 da. Okay, so you're supposed to actually play them piano. Okay?
Yeah,
I sang,
but we get the idea.
Parts,
yeah,
whatever. But so
you have a beautiful voice. You have a beautiful voice.
Three stars. With three stars, you can take a picture. Let's see. Where are you, Tim? Where are you, Tim?
Are you gonna try?
Is that you?
I don't think that's me. No.
No, how am I going to get you?
I don't think it's going to work. Oh, there I am. I could see me.
Okay, whatever.
All right, so, people are getting bored now. So.
Okay. So we send them off. She learns how to do this. You can choose on that screen. You can choose to either do with an acoustic piano, or if you don't have a keyboard with you, you can push the actual green button on this iPad screen, mm-hmm, and play on the screen, which is not very cool. And iPaders are like doing like, I don't know if you can see that, they're doing,
yeah,
like this, because,
yeah,
it's really, really tiny keys. And even on the iPad Air and the Air 2, the screen is still really, really tiny, and you're still doing like this. But on the iPad Pro, oh my God,
you totally can
do it on the iPad Pro because it's so much bigger. Anyway, so that's how I would start. With a 10-year-old, yeah, girl, I would start with that and just show her how the app works. And once,
yeah,
she felt comfortable with it, then I'm going to be all, okay, so that's great that you can play middle C. You've been playing for 3 years. Maybe let's try something a little more difficult. And I would probably go straight to Pop and Rock. In Pop and Rock, here, you can scroll down the list, and you can see all kinds of people and bands and artists that they know. And I would probably go with this one right here.
Who's that?
Because who doesn't love Taylor Swift?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And my favorite song, We Are Never Getting Back Together Again, right there. Hello. Yes.
Hello.
That is the one that we would start with. It's in the key of G. It's level 1B. It actually tells you, the teacher, that that's where it is. I'm assuming that she, after 3 or 4 years, she's playing at least level 1B. And have her play through that. And she'll play through it, and she'll say, oh, I sound like I'm actually playing the song. And you will say, yes, I know. Isn't
How
this
cool
amazing?
Is piano?
You want to try it again? Let's,
yeah,
do it again.
Yeah.
And then she'll do it again. And before you know it, she's hooked. And then I will tell her, hey, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. You pick a song. You know, try to stay in this range of songs, difficulty level.
Oh, this level, yeah.
Yeah, pick a song and let's do another one. And then she's going to be done with her lesson, and her parents will come in, and she will say, oh, my God, do you know what we did today? I just played Shake It Off. I played Shake It Off. Where's my iPad, and can I do it at home? Usually that question is addressed
to
me,
next one.
I say, yes, mm-hmm, absolutely. Let me send you an invitation, mm-hmm, so that you can download this, and you can get it at home for free as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and play. Man, there are no limits here. Play as much as you want.
Yeah, that's what I say to my guys too.
I will get a report on Sunday that will tell me how much she actually played. And I will get all kinds of great insight into what kind of music she likes, because it drives me nuts when I ask my kids, so what kind of music do you want to play? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, seriously, yeah. What do you listen to in the car? My mom's music.
Yeah, I know the
because
feeling.
You're not helping me. I need to know what kind of music you want. This report, when they play and they explore the library on their own, really gives you, the teacher, insight into what kind of music they find exciting. It also gives you a lot of insight because that report is fairly detailed. It tells you how many times they played it, what if they did the learn mode. It tells you which sections they got stuck on. This gives you a lot of information about how your student practices at home. And I spend a significant amount of time looking at that report to really nail down what my students and how my students are learning. I really want to see that, which I can't see because I don't go home with them. I only see them in class. And so this really, it's, again, designed, this app is designed for teachers. You get that report. There's a ton of stuff you can do with that report.
Fantastic. I think I'm going to have to do a bit of a screen recording of actually using it so people can see it close up. So
yeah.
I'm going to put that on my to-do list before the end of the year, and I'll put a link up because I think that'll be great just to show people, and I'll show, you know, people what I do with it anyway. Or maybe we'll have to get you back for a webinar. We'll see how we go. Okay, now
I can talk about this literally for hours.
So. I know. Well, look, we're going to start wrapping up. I've got a couple more questions.
Okay.
Do people need, or are there any good accessories, or is it just the iPad? That's it.
You just really need the iPad and something which makes sounds.
Yeah.
I will say that if you're using an acoustic piano, that the piano has to be in tune for it to work. Because there's vocals involved in the backing tracks, there's no way to adjust the tuning of the songs as they're being played. So yeah, your piano has to be in tune, which is fine because my students who want to play this, who have out of tune pianos, will do the nagging for me
Getting their piano tuned. Yeah.
About getting their piano tuned. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to get involved in that family dispute at all.
Fantastic.
The kids want it done. Parents will get it done. So that is really nice. But for the most part, you know, really you don't need anything. Just something that makes sound and an iPad, and go play and have fun and, you know, learn.
I find that I've got a stereo sound system in my studio, and I find that you know, a good sound system really makes the backing track sound, particularly the pop one, sound pretty impressive. So you don't need it, but it can be a good investment down the track.
And I will say too, if you're interested in being cable free, and I know a lot of people are, Apple doesn't allow Bluetooth to work with this app just because there's too much processing going on. So if you have a Bose like SoundLink, or you have any kind of Bluetooth speaker, this is not going to work. There's too much processing going on there. Coming out, going in, there's just too much. So if you do use a speaker, which I highly recommend as well because it really makes the depth of those backing tracks sound amazing, make sure you use a cable with it into your headphone jack and then into the auxiliary input in your speaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I use. I don't know if you know about the Logitech make these 5.1 and 3.1 systems. So they've got a sub and two speakers. Not very expensive. We'll find it. I'll put a link to it on the show notes page. But the subwoofer just makes it sound so good. And they're like, I don't know, but it's under $100, well under $100.
I bought a speaker at Target, and the reason I bought it was because it was advertised as louder. Louder-er and louder-er-est. And I mean, how do you not buy that? And
was it
was like $20. And
it
sounds amazing.
There you go.
It's louderest.
Yeah, right. I love it. Okay, and I was also going to ask, when I logged in the other day or turned the app on, it said something about a new app that you've come out with called Simply Piano.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see it. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing a necklace. It says Simply Piano. Yeah, this is our new app. This one is I know when you look at Piano Maestro, it's like orange and blue, and it's, you know, it's got lots of bright colors. Simply Piano is an app that we just designed and released. It's really, seriously, like 3 months old. It's not been out at all for very long. And Simply Piano is designed more for older adult learners, mm-hmm. where they don't have to go through stars. They don't acquire stars, but they do still have to build skills. So it's very linear. You pick the style of music you want to play, whether you want to be a chord player, you want to be a melody player, do you want to be an accompanist, what do you want to do? And then it takes you through that whole learning process. And there's no teaching teacher features in this one. You don't get different profiles for each student. It's one student who can go through this and pick a spot and work their way through it. But Simply Piano is really designed for, the music is older. The pop tunes are a little more mature than you know, Shake It Off or Uptown Funk, although I think Uptown Funk is in there. but you know, the music is a little more mature than say Mary Had a Little Lamb and London Bridge. It's a very adult-driven kind of app that really gives you the basics of piano. Just get your feet wet again. And I had a discussion with somebody who said, well, why are you even promoting that? You're going to put yourself out of business. Adult learners are a different breed altogether. And they may not come to me if they don't feel like they have they can do it. It's not me they have to convince. It's them that they have to convince that they still have the mental capacity to learn.
Yep.
And so this app really kind of gives them that, you know, let's get your feet wet very gently. You're going to learn how to read music. It's not as hard as you think. And once they get to a certain point in there, they're very comfortable calling out teachers. And this is another thing that JoyTunes does that nobody else I know does. If somebody contacts them, an adult student contacts them through their Facebook page, they will look for a teacher, a JoyTunes teacher in that area and try to connect the two, which I think is amazing. I don't know any other app company that will do that for you. So again, Simply Piano is really exciting. We're very, very excited to release that. Just again, it's for an older person. I would put that one starting at about age 14, maybe 12, and have the older crowd work their way through that one.
Yeah, cool. That sounds great. Okay, well, you better tell us about this download that you've very kindly offered all listeners and viewers. What are they going to get from that?
Well, it's a 30-day free trial for Piano Maestro. It's full access. So the code that you go and you log in to the website and you put in the code, when you download the app, everything will be open for you. So you'll get to explore all the music that's in the library and in the methods section, because those are really the two best places for you to hang out and play. When you download the app from the App Store, and you don't have one of these cool little code things, these super secret codes, you only get the first 6 chapters, and then you get some songs in the library that are free, but then it's subscription-based. So this will give you the opportunity to go through all of the material that's there. You have free access to it. You can check it all out. You can decide whether or not it's worth it to you to have to invest $5 in your education every month. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with you are worth $5 every month to learn how to play the piano, because it makes you smarter and it staves off Alzheimer's and it's fun and you can play the piano. So $5 a month.
And this, just to clarify again, this is for non-teachers. So if you're a student and you're listening, and you're not a student of a teacher, then that code we'll have on our show notes page will get you that access. But for teachers, let's say they download the app and they register. How do you know if they're a teacher? How do they get that access?
It's a very lengthy screening process. We require that you submit at least 1 year's worth of receipts, business receipts, for us to check. You have to fax those over. I'm just kidding.
Okay. No, I'm like, what the heck? That's changing.
That's fine. I have to do that.
Okay.
We ask you some basic questions, some teacher questions. You know, why are you using this? What do you want to do? How many students do you have? Where are you located and what's your phone number? And where are you located and what's your phone number is occasionally they go through and they just, you know, spot check to make sure that teachers are actually teachers.
Right.
So they may call you and find out. They also need that phone number in case they want to refer a student to you. And then once you do all of that, you set up your account. You will say, I am a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you're flagged as a teacher. And everybody who tries to connect through you Well, they'll get free access to the full version of Piano Maestro. So it's really, really simple, easy process. I will tell you, don't forget your password. If you do forget your password, you can always change it or get a new one, just like every other app does. They didn't used to do that. So that, to me, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But you can do it yourself now. And so it's very simple, very, very simple to set up.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of those tips. It's been so good. And also your free chapter from your book. So that's just going to help teachers who have the app or have just got it work out how to connect with their students properly.
Yes.
And it just explains step by step how to do it, because just a heads up, your students don't go and download the app themselves and try and form their own account, because it just won't work and it'll do everyone's head in. So make sure you download that if you're a Piano Maestro user or you're just getting started, because that's going to save you a lot of time if you're a little bit unsure about how to sign your students up.
And I will tell you, in that same form, the chapter, I did include the actual link to the book that's available on Amazon. It's only an ebook, so you can't. I haven't printed it yet. I'm working on it. I haven't done it yet, but it's only available from Amazon through Kindle. And you can download the Kindle app to any device, including your computer, your PC or your Mac, and you can read from there too. Once you download the book, you can read it on any device, really, your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever. So go ahead and do that. And at the bottom of that chapter, I also included, because I know you just love me, and you wanted to see the webinar that I did with Tracy Seeley about how to use tech in your studio.
So good. You are so much fun. I've blogged about these the webinars before, so yeah, definitely check that out.
Check that one out, because I did a really good one. You should check it out.
No, you did.
Kidding. It was totally kidding.
It was good. They're all very good. There's a whole series of great webinars.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really amazing, and some really great people did, including yourself, did a great session. So yeah, no, if you are at all interested in attending some kind of conference without actually attending the conference, this is the way to go, because these are the sessions that you would get if you went to those conferences and you paid $150 to be part of the association, and then you had to travel, and so there's another $700 for airfare, and then there's the $1,200 it's going to cost for the hotel plus food plus time off. You can do it at home. There's no need to do this anymore. You can do it at home.
Really, really good. We'll put the link to that in the show notes, and it's also in your...
Yes, it is.
Brilliant. It's so amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh.
You must be knackered. Is that a word you guys use, or is that just an Australian word?
It means that I'm not wearing any clothes.
Oh, I didn't say not naked. Knackered. Like,
oh, I don't. No? Oh, that's K-N-A-C-K-E-R-E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an Australian?
We don't say that.
Oh, right, okay. So that means tired for all non-Australians, given that it's almost midnight for you now. So I'll let you go. Thank you again. Have I forgotten anything? Did you want to say anything else just before we sign off?
No, just thank you, Tim, for having me on and putting up with me and, letting me talk about my favorite subject ever. I appreciate it. And for those of you that are watching or attending and for watching, and I hope you got something out of this. I'm available pretty much all the time on Facebook. You can always find me lurking, for lack of a better word, lurking on the piano teacher pages. I have a real irreverent sense of humor, so it's usually a snarky remark that you'll see on the pages, but I am available. So if you have any questions, feel free to either email me or private message me on Facebook. I am there all the time.
That's great. And I might, if you're up for it, if people have questions and they leave a comment on the show notes page, are you happy to just jump in and reply to them if I can't help them? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. So those show notes will be at timtopman.com/episode22. And again, if you can jump on iTunes and do a review of how amazing Becky was today, that would be fantastic. So thank you so much. It's been great catching up with you, Becky. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
I know. Are you coming to MTNA?
Hopefully. Yeah, fingers crossed. I'll be there. Yeah, it should be good.
Okay,
so everyone listening should be heading to MTNA as well. That's in America, in San Antonio, Texas, in April.
In April.
That's your part of the world, isn't it? I've just realized.
I did my undergrad in San Antonio, so I'm totally going home
for
the conference. I'm so excited.
Very cool. All right. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed. Otherwise, I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Bye, everyone.